And how we sense it, and how we sense your spirit is flowing and glowing. Father, we commit this night to you, this time together, and we ask that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading Psalm 138, and I thought, what a great way to start. It says, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I sing praises to you before the pagan gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word together with your name. And this is a thanksgiving psalm that David wrote about God's favor in his life. And this is after he sinned. It took him, I think it was about a year to finally decide he needed to confess for the sin that he went through with Bathsheba. He was sick, he was weak, He had no communion with God. And after that year, he started writing some great stuff. But he says, on the day I called, you answered me. And you made me bold and confident with renewed strength in my life. All the kings of the land will give thanks and praise you, O Lord, when you have heard of the promises of your mouth. Yes, they will sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory and majesty of the Lord. Though the Lord is exalted, he regards the lowly, invites them into his fellowship. But the proud and haughty he knows from a distance. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will accomplish that which concerns me. Your unwavering loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your own hands. Sunday sermon is about, well, the series is about God just isn't fair. And so the question we're asking God Sunday is, God, are you fair? And, you know, you look at, you know, some verses and I think he is. And you look at some verses and you're not sure if he is or not. So anyway, I just wanted to read that. I wanted to share it. I thought it was appropriate.
Back to the first part of the verse, you were saying, the magnify above your name. Your name is Max. So read that verse for me.
It's part of verse 3. He says, I will bow down and worship toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word together with your name.
Okay, magnifies your word.
Your word.
Your word. Did it say above your name? Or was it say magnify your word?
With your name.
Yeah, different versions.
Different versions are different.
Actually say above, which is really cool because that means the written word of God, God puts more value on what he's written to us, that he gave to us, than actually above his name. Mm-hmm. Whoa! The name above all names, right? That's awesome. Powerful stuff.
The same.
Yeah, really good stuff. Are you clicking for us?
Huh?
Are you clicking for us?
It's your turn. Yes.
All right, you're clicking. Yay. My Jesus. Whoops. Might have to back a slide.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing power and majesty, praise to the King. Seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the words of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Every breath, all that I have, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of
Footsteps and thunder in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very soon, so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And when the sky was starless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God, he's an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. God, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Do that again.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
You want to do now, or you want to just what's your pleasure?
What's that?
You want to share your message now?
Yep.
And good, we'll do it. That'll be good. Back to a pseudo rhythm message.
Come across this prayer this week. A guy I went to high school with sent it out, and he captioned it. He said, subject, a pastor with guts. He said, thought you might enjoy a prayer given in Kansas at the opening session of the Senate. It seems prayer still upsets some people. There's a surprise. When Minister Joe Wright was asked to open the new session of the Kansas Senate, everyone was expecting the usual generalities. But this is what they heard. Heavenly Father, we have come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good. But that is exactly what we have done. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. If you ever listen to Dave Ramsey, Christian financial counselor, he says that you do not see people with Mercedes parked in lottery, you know, where they sell lottery tickets. There's some truth to that. He goes on to say, we have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Amen. The response was immediate. A number of legislators walked out during the prayer in protest. In 6 short weeks, Central Christian Church, where Reverend Wright is pastor, logged more than 5,000 phone calls. Only 47 responded negatively. The church is now receiving international requests for copies of this prayer from India, Africa, and Korea. But that's true when you really stop and think about it. We have to be so doggone politically correct anymore that it just... Yeah. I heard a song and I'm not going to sing it. But we'll do it some Sunday. It's called My Name is Lazarus. And there's several versions out, I think. Several different quartets have got it. I listen to a lot of Southern gospel music. But I want to read it because we're going to talk about healing tonight. But it says, one day four men brought a crippled man to Jesus. Still and lifeless, he lay upon his bed. He had not moved since he was just a baby. Still he longed to become a normal man. Now, we don't know much about the men that carried the corners of this tattered bed that day. But if we may create an illustration, we'll see what these men might have had to say. Suppose that the first man had said, I hate to doubt it, for Jesus touched my eyes when I was blind. He made me see, and there's no doubt about it. But this man's needs are more serious than mine. Suppose the second man said, no need to bother, this man's condition will remain the same. Though Jesus touched my hand when it was withered, I don't believe he can heal a man so lame. Suppose that the third man said, I hate the question, but no one here is more skeptical than me. Though Jesus cleansed me when I was a leper, this helpless man will never walk, you see. Then every eye was turned to the fourth man to see how he might criticize and doubt. But all three men were startled with amazement. The fourth man stopped and said his name out loud. My name is Lazarus. Could I testify? My name is Lazarus. Feels good to be alive. When I in chains of death was bound, this man named Jesus called me out. If you think your little problem is too big for him to solve, take it from the one who has heard the mighty voice of God, a living testimony of his death-defying touch. My name is Lazarus. We've got to do that sometime. Huh? Triumphant quartet. Yeah. Excuse me for the emotion. I want to talk a little bit about healing. And because it's going to tie in with Sunday's message. I'm trying to, you know, my niece, she said, you're going to be here Thursday, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm going to get back for church. And she said, oh, that's right. And they have church on Thursday night too. And so we were talking about different things. And one of the things we were talking about was healing. And the question that was brought up was, did Jesus or did the apostles heal everyone that came to him? Jesus taught when he healed a person, you know, everybody says, it said, according to your faith, be it unto you. I don't know where that's at. I don't find that anywhere, but a lot of people, you know, said that. And some people will go on and say, well, God heals because of our faith. God heals because of other people's faith. I'm not sure that's necessarily accurate. I'll tell you why. Because if we read the scriptures, we'll find out that his focus wasn't necessarily on faith with everyone that he healed. Now, I believe in healing. Don't get me wrong. I've been healed. I believe in healing. And I believe God does miracles. One of the questions I'm going to ask Sunday is, I don't know why Kyler wasn't healed. I don't know. If I did, I would probably be at, you know, Washington Cathedral pastoring that church. But we hear it takes faith. And if God healed by faith, does that mean that if he doesn't heal someone, then we're a failure? Or God's a failure? And I don't think the answer to that question is yes. Because not everyone that we see was healed exercised any faith. And I'm going to share some scripture with you. He healed people that asked him. but he also healed people that didn't ask him. Luke 6:19 says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and he healed them all. Luke 9:11 says, but when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he'd received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. So I think when we look at this thing, you know, closely, we see that Jesus healed people with faith and he healed people without faith. You know, I'm not so sure that the woman with the issue of blood, she knew if she touched his garment, but did she have faith in the person wearing the garment? I don't know. She may have had more faith in the garment. I don't really know. They're healed by grace. People are healed by grace or healed by God's mercy. Matthew 14:14 says, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Healings are done in many different ways, numerous ways. There are times that Jesus responded to the individual's faith. There's times he healed people when they didn't even know they were going to be healed. Matthew 8, 5 through 10, I want to share this with you. I did something this week. I bought a large print Bible. Simply because I didn't like switching glasses. Now the pages won't turn. This is Matthew 5. Matthew, I better get to, making a difference what size print is if we don't get to the right chapter. 8, verses 5 through 10. As Jesus went into Capernaum, a centurion came to him begging him for help and saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed with intense and terrible tormenting pain. This is the Amplified version. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied to him, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. No faith on the part of the servant at this point. For I also am a man subject to authority, with soldiers subject to me, and I say unto one, go and he goes, to another, come and he comes, and to my slave, do this and do that. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those who were following him, I tell you truthfully, I have not found such great faith as this with anyone in Israel. Now, it wasn't the centurion, it was the centurion's faith, but it wasn't his servant's faith that healed him. I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, I mean, when, you know, huh? Yes. Mark chapter 5. Verses 35 to 43. While he was still speaking, some people came from the synagogue of the synagogue official's house, saying to Jairus, your daughter has died. Why bother the teacher any longer? Overhearing what was being said, Jesus said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid. Only keep on believing in me and my power. And he allowed no one to go with him as witnesses except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the synagogue official, and he looked at the uproar and the commotion and the people loudly weeping and wailing. When he had gone in, he said to them, why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died but is asleep. They began laughing. But he made them go outside and took along the child's father and mother and his own three companions and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child's hand, he said tenderly to her, Talitha kum, which translated from Aramaic means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And I don't think he probably said get up. I think he probably looked at her and said, get up! I just think that's the way he did it. Then the little girl immediately got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they witnessed the child's resurrection. And keep in mind, mom and dad and his three disciples. Because he threw the rest of those clowns out that were laughing at him. And he gave strict orders that no one should know about this. And he told them to give her something to eat. Yes. Yeah, yeah. We got to do that song. The paralytic was carried by his friends to Jesus when Jesus saw their faith. And he, you know, and you remember, I'm sure that Jesus is sitting in this house. And, you know, and these four guys are saying, you know, well, we carried you this far, but I really don't want to carry you up that, you know, up, you know, the top to this roof. But I can see the man convincing them to do it. And then I can see Jesus sitting in there, and all of a sudden I can see stuff falling from the ceiling where they're picking away to let him down. And people are sitting there getting dusty saying, what in the world's going on? Yeah. And they dropped this man down through there. It's amazing, you know, when he said that. And he what he did, though, was the first thing that he did was he forgave his sin. And then he healed him. And that's the one thing that we are guaranteed. We're not guaranteed physical healing in this life. But we are guaranteed salvation. Jesus healed people from immediate sickness. In John 11, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Think it was Lazarus' faith that raised Lazarus from the dead? I don't really think so. But it was somebody's. It may have been Jesus's. Because if you remember, the sister said that he's been dead 4 days. And I think it's kind of interesting that Jesus even put off going back an extra day. I think that's just so amazing. Luke 8, 26 to 39. Boy, these are big boys. Then they sailed into the country of the Gerasenes, which is east of Galilee. Now when Jesus stepped out on land, he was met by a man from the city of Gerasa, who was possessed with demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes and was not living in a house but among the tombs. That's a hideous enough sight to think about it. Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and shouted loudly, "What business do you have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Now we know that wasn't the man speaking, that was the demons speaking. Now he was already commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the man while they were talking to him, because it says now he was already. For it had seized him violently many times, and he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He answered, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. They continually begged him not to command them to go into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the mountain. Nothing any more corruptible to a Jew than a pig. The demons begged Jesus to allow them to enter the pigs, and he gave them permission. I like that. He gave them permission. They couldn't have done it without that. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. The same result they would have got had they been cast into the abyss. And people came out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. And they were frightened. I probably would have been too. You know, what's happened? Those who had seen it told them how the man who had become demon-possessed had been healed. Then all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and surrounding district asked him to leave them because they were overwhelmed with fear. So Jesus got on the boat and returned. And I think to the west side of this, the Sea of Galilee, I think it's interesting that when you look at this, Jesus was in their town. And they were, you know, fearful. He had just healed someone And it says he was possessed by many demons because his name was Legion. And even though they saw that, they still feared. But yet when they asked Jesus to leave, he honored that request and left and did nothing else there. He couldn't do anything else there. I think that's interesting. Bible records Jesus doing just as many miracles, I think, without people exercising faith as he does with faith. Of the 35 miracles recorded in the gospel accounts, the faith of the recipient is exercised in only 10 of the accounts. Healing of the lame man, the cleansing of the leper, healing a man's withered hand. I believe that was the one where he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He didn't take it for granted. He asked the man if he wanted to be made whole. I think that's interesting. The healing of a man born blind, healing the blindness of Bartimaeus, the woman who had the issue of blood, Peter who walked on water, the miraculous catching of a fish, and the second miraculous catch, the cleansing of the 10 lepers, of which only one had faith, because he said, what did he say? Yeah, and one did. The Bible records Jesus is doing all kinds of miracles when faith was present. There's no doubt about it. But what about the apostles? What'd they do? I thought that was kind of interesting when I was looking at this. Acts 3:2-6. And this is interesting that they didn't. You know, they had so much more power when Jesus wasn't with them. And I think it's probably because they counted on him all the time to do things for him. Yeah, right. Forgot I copied it. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John go about into the temple, ask for alms. That's what I mean, the first time they went into the temple. And fixing his eyes upon him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That was the faith of Peter and John that raised that man from there. Now, the Bible doesn't record how many other people were laying around there, but it also didn't record how many people were at the Pool of Bethesda when you had to crawl in or get in somehow. It doesn't say how many, but one did. 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul had Timothy to take wine for medicinal purposes. Lack of faith was not the problem. And it goes on in 2 Timothy 4:20 says, "Trophimus I left in Miletus sick." Trophimus, a companion of Paul, was left as Paul went on ministering. He did not encourage him to have faith to be healed. In Philippians 2:26-30 mentions Epaphroditus was a devoted servant of the Lord. He became sick and stayed that way for some time and almost died. We see the prayers were answered by God's will and his timing. And I think, one other thing here, it's just Paul, the thorn in his flesh, it's recorded in 2 Corinthians 12, that he asked numerous times for this thorn, and no one really knows. Somebody, there's been a lot of different things thought about what it could be, but somebody thought maybe it was a limp or, he was crippled or something. Nobody really knows, I don't think. But he asked several times for God to remove that, and he didn't. But the thing that doesn't change is what's our responsibility. I stopped this morning, got a cup of coffee, and this guy I was walking out, and he walked in, and he said, "You know anything about directions around here?" "Well, yeah, I can get around." And this happened. I dropped Molly off at the vet, and she now doesn't like me, but I dropped her off anyway. And So I was walking out, and he said, you know how to get around, you have directions here? And I said, yeah, they're telling me you just go down 42 to, he was trying to get to Pfeiffer Road. Said it was an accident on 71. And I said, you live around here? Did you move down here? You know, talking to anybody. And he said he had moved from Bowling Green. His daughter was a single mother, and his granddaughter had underwent 5 surgeries. I said, how old was she? How old is she? He said, 9. And so we got to talking, and, you know, it's there are times when you feel comfortable praying for people, and there are just times when you just think that's not what they want. And that was that time when I just don't think that's what he wanted, because he was in a hurry to get the, you know, get to his daughters. But I'd like to, for us to remember him. I don't know if we'll ever see him again, you know, but we're still called and I believe commanded to go to Kyler's, to go to people. When people share that need, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if it, you know, if it's going to be a miraculous healing. We don't know if doctors are going to heal, you know, heal someone. We don't know. I don't think it really makes any difference, because God ultimately is in control of every situation. There was a situation where, you know, I think the disciples came back to Jesus and they couldn't do something. And it was because of a lack of faith. And you sit here and you read and you look at these, and some people were healed because of faith, and some people were healed because of someone else's faith. But at some point, someone had to believe that God would do what God said he would do. Another question I'm going to ask Sunday morning is, I don't know why Jake Phelps died at 20. I don't know. I wish I knew. But we prayed for him. We anointed a bunch of kids. And Nancy said that the one issue he had with water around his heart, he never had that issue again. And I know we anointed kids and prayed for his healing. I don't have any answers. But I know that we have the responsibility. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. I heard today, and, you know, we're going to be talking about some prayer requests. I appreciate you remembering Cindy. She's got head congestion and chest congestion. But I heard on the news today, the Butler County coroner was called out 200 times in the first 3 months of this year. And the biggest issue is heroin. Said the ages range from 18 to 66. And the median age of heroin overdoses in Butler County is 37 to 38 years old. Those are people that ought to be providing for their families, ought to be raising their children. But yet we see they overdose in hospital rooms where their little kids are. I understand. And I know we've prayed about that. I just want us to continue to thank God that there is an answer somewhere. There is an answer. Well, he is the answer. Any other prayer requests? I have. Gary, it's just amazing that people think they can overcome that. You know, and it can be overcome, but it can't be overcome alone. Yeah. I tell you, it's easy to get addicted to those things, too. I mean, when I was in the hospital, morphine didn't do it, and they had me on this stuff called Dilaudid. And Cindy said it made me goofy. goofier. But, you know, I can see how that can happen. I want us to remember Sunday. I thought we had an awesome service Sunday. And it's all because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. When Don Bannerman walks in here and senses that, you know it's real. It's not just something that's fabricated. I wrote a note back to Don and told him, I said, that's what every minister covets. Karen? She better, much better than she has been, isn't she? Okay. What was his name? Our Heavenly Father, we sometimes don't have the words to say. Sometimes we just need to be held. And let you know our heart. Let you know our thoughts, our concerns. And that's kind of what I feel like tonight, Father. Is that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a miracle-working God. You touch our lives, you touch our friends, our families, you touch our individual life with healing and blessing. And then, Father, help us to understand why with some it's
instantaneous. Some it's a process. Some it never happens. But we know what you've called us to do. And you've called us to pray. And you've called us to believe. And you've called us to thank you and praise you for what we've prayed for. You didn't tell us we need to keep asking you. That's the one thing you told us not to do. And how many times we have seen in your word that things begin to happen. When we begin to thank you, we begin to praise you, and we begin to speak forth your word. And Father, as we shared last Sunday about moms and grandmothers and great-grandmothers prophesying over their children, Lord, make us a body of believers that prophesy blessings over those in need. So Lord, tonight we're going to do that. We are going to speak healing into Kim through your word. And Lord, we are going to bind those issues of blood pressure and those issues that are affecting her life, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we bind those and we speak health and healing and wholeness into her this very minute. And Lord, for Kim and her dizzy feelings, and Lord, it was Jenna's tumor. You know what's right. And for Jenna's tumor, we speak healing. For Kim's blood pressure and dizziness, we speak healing in Jesus' name. And Lord, we speak wholeness and health and blessings that only you can give in Jesus' name. Lord, for Brandon's friend, Emma. Lord, tough issues at such a young age. But like Lazarus said, I don't know about you other three guys, but I was bound with the chains of death. And to God be the glory, you raised me again. And so, Lord, for Emma, we speak health and wholeness into her in Jesus' name. And Lord, we bind those powers and those forces and demons that are affecting her. And as we do that, we loose the Holy Spirit to just consume her. We thank you for that. We believe you hear our prayer. We believe, Lord, that you want to raise a church that prays and believes. Father, for Gary. We just pray, Father, that intercession comes in his life. And Lord, he finds you as the ultimate painkiller. We no longer have to be attracted and have to be pulled by forces outside of you. But Lord, that this day, May 12, 2016, Gary will find peace and deliverance through the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And Lord, we speak healing into Gary. And Father, we speak continued healing into Karen's parents. Thankful, Father, that you brought them home safe. And Lord, now we have prayed for them, and we continue to speak health and healing in both mom and dad. And we thank you for that, and we believe that that prayer will be answered because you're faithful and just to hear our prayer and to meet the needs of your people. Lord, I pray for Cindy and just ask, Lord, that you continue to touch her. Father, I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for the care that she gave me over these past weeks. Thankful that you blessed my life with her. And now, Lord, I ask that you bless her life with healing and health. And Father, we have prayed and we have talked and we have ministered and we have shared about this heroin issue. And Lord, we know the answer is Jesus Christ. There is no other answer. Somehow, Father, show us and guide us in how we can take that message to whomever we need to in order to get the attention of a community that needs healing. And Lord, for this Sunday, I just pray, Father, that you will bring us a service like you did last week. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Bless each and every person that comes. Father, we pray for a fresh outpouring and a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit on people's lives. And Lord, give them the desire to pray, to believe, to speak faith, to speak belief, to speak blessings, to prophesy positive things in people's lives. Lord, we're so thankful that you have chosen to be in this place. Lord, we're thankful that surely your presence is here. And as I used the word covet earlier, Father, that's what every pastor and every minister wants, is the people to walk in there into your house and in their presence sense your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And, Lord, as we go back to communion, and as we stop and think about what your death on that cross meant, we understand and we know that when you took that bread that night with those disciples and you broke it and you said, "This is my body broken for you." Your body was broken as you hung on the cross by the stripes that you received. And that's what brought about our healing. Lord, we thank you for that. And then, Father, as you took the cup, and as your Son hung on that cross, the most important thing that he did for us was to shed his blood. Because that's the one thing that we're all guaranteed, salvation just for asking. So as we share communion tonight, I want us to think about that healing aspect of what the cross meant. Because I believe that God is calling us into some type of healing ministry. Don't know what it is yet, but I sense that. And there's a great need for it, definitely. Spiritual healing, physical healing, emotional healing. It's such a need. So as you come, I would ask you to just, you know, think about that as you share me all this.
Everybody needs you strong. Life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be there. If your eyes are on the storm, you wonder if I love you still. And if your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have and I always will. Not a tear is wasted, in time you'll understand. Painting beauty with the ashes, your life is in my hand. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be held.
Lift your hands, lift.
of a God who won't let go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on, just be held. Your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on, just be held. Just be held.
This is going to be the closing hymn on Sunday. And most of the congregation, all the congregation probably has never heard the verses before. But they know the chorus because the choir used to always sing it for years, right? Years. You ready, guys?
Of the Lord is in this place.
Compares to the promise I have in you.